Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 98. The one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of May 26, 2014. I am Derek, and I am joined by Mo.
Ever had pizza for breakfast?
No, because I'm a sane person.
Oh, well. I don't have pizza for breakfast!
No, instead you like to try to blow my ears out. Stop that.
Sorry.
Alright, so how's your week been?
Memorial Day was pretty good. It was, you know, other than my dad telling me to, take me here, take me there, take me here. Oh, we have to go back out here, but I just came back from a walk like 30 minutes ago. What the heck, man? It's hot outside. Take me here, okay.
It has been way too hot. I do not want to leave the house. But my room upstairs, my room is on the top floor, and it is quite warm. I've had to purchase a second fan that I'm just going to have fans stationed all around my bed blowing all over me.
Yeah, the room I'm in is generally warmer than it is out than the living room itself. And my sister's room, which is vacant for the time being, is much warmer than this room in some way. I'm like, the heck?
Interesting. Yeah, I'm thinking of trying to make a homemade air conditioner. From what I've seen, all you really need is like a box to put it all in, a PVC pipe to direct the airflow, frozen gallon jug of water, and then a small fan that you blow into the box that has the frozen water in it, and then it blows cold air through the PVC pipe and into the room. So I'm thinking of giving that a shot and seeing whether that does anything, because the air conditioner does not reach to the top floor. It's quite irritating.
Let me know how that works. I want to try it on myself if I ever can do it.
I might end up doing it this weekend. Just go out to Saturday. What I need to do is find like a styrofoam cooler that doesn't matter if I cut some holes into it. And so I think I can get all that at Home Depot. And then I'll just need to get a fan and from Walmart and save a jug of milk or something, an empty jug. But anyway, I'm sure the people don't care about our personal lives.
Well, at least I sent the PS3. I don't have to worry about my sister grabbing this laptop every once in a while.
It's like a good distraction. Excellent.
It's like, hey, look, Grand Theft Auto 4, go play it. Wait, what? No, you heard nothing.
Yeah. All right, well, we're on episode 98. That's only two episodes away from the big 100. I'm hoping to have everything uploaded, edited and uploaded by the time episode 100 comes out, so I don't, you know, just, you know, so that I can actually have it episode 100 live the moment it comes out. And so, yeah, we're going to have to think of something special to do, because, I mean, you know, it's 100 episodes. We've been doing this for a long time now, so it's surprisingly impressive that we've kept doing it, even though, as of this recording, we are still behind on the editing process. All right, but
I should learn to edit, but
that would be nice. I would like to not have to do it, but what the hey? I'm the one with the recording software.
So part of that's recording.
Yep. All right, and let's go ahead and get into the news, shall we? Then, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for May 12th through the 18th, and in 10th place we have Kuroko's Basketball Volume 27.
9th place, Kyo no Kirakun, Volume 8.
8th place, Ane no Kikkon, Volume 7.
7th place, Nobunaga Concerto, Volume 10.
6th place, Ajin, Volume 4.
5th place, Naruto, Volume 69.
4th place, Heroic Legend of Arslan, the Volume 2, The Legend of Aslan Back When He Was a Jackass.
I always said Arslan instead of Arslan. I don't know why.
I don't know.
When I saw the dub of the original anime, or at least I'm not sure that was the original, but the anime I saw, they kept saying Arslan. So I always think I hear Arslan, like, Arslan's not right, but whatever. That's how spelled. It's okay.
Pretty. Yeah, I don't know. It makes sense to me. I mean, you've got Aslan, you've got Arslan, which is the British version of Aslan if you were a douchebag.
Wow, okay.
Oh, you know, arse means ass in Britain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yep, all right, let's see.
3rd place.
Yes.
Maji, Sinbad no Boken, Volume 3.
All right, 2nd place, Ace of Diamond, Volume 41.
And first place, Fairy Tale Volume 43.
Woo, it's out. That means, by my calculations, I'm going to go, let's see, go here and just pulling out my manga releases. So, by my calculations, that would mean that we will most likely be finished with all the Fairy Tale reviewing in October, except that's not true because there's several months between then. We'll probably be finished like in November. With volume 44 or whatnot, we'll have to see. Actually, while I'm at it, I'm going to look that up. Fairy Tale 44. Let's see if they have a date for that yet. All right, well, that was the Japanese rankings. Let's go ahead and do the New York Times rankings for the week of May 11th through 17th.
Okay.
All right. In 10th place, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 10.
9th place, Alice in the Country of Hearts, Love, Labyrinth of Thorns, Volume 3. Mm.
8th place, Nisekoi, A False Love, Volume 3.
7th place, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 2.
6th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1. Good gosh.
It's still there. Mm-hmm. Watch it. When I buy it, be like why is it still on the week? I just bought mine last week. Dang it, Mo, what the heck?
No, but yeah, it'd be more like you buy it and it's like, oh, look, it dropped off the list. You were the only person to buy it. Everyone else is sick of it.
Okay.
Next one.
5th place, Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 12.
3rd place, Monster Soul, Volume 1. Probably because by Hero Monster, oh, look, it's Spider God did Fairy.
Yeah, that's the only reason they brought it over, for sure. But, oh well. I need to purchase that, except the ones at Barnes & Noble are in bad condition, so, oh well. We'll review that at some point. 2nd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 38.
And 1st place, Monster Musume, Volume 3.
Yeesh. Alright, so for the North American anime and manga releases from May 18th through the 24th, we have in the anime releases, Fairy Tail, Part 10.
Nice. Hmm. We have Hakuden. 8 Dogs of the East, Blu-ray, Season 1 Collection, and DVD.
Alright, Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Demon Capital, Blu-ray, and DVD set 2.
Persona 3, the movie, Part 1, Spring of Birth, Blu-ray, Collector's Edition, Import, and... and the regular Import, Blu-ray.
Right, okay, yeah, that's...
nice.
Yeah, and hey, they're not charging $99 for this collector's edition, but only $74 for the regular edition.
Gosh darn it, edition, I'm sure it has some. Oh, Aniplex. Aniplex is like, hey, we're kind of being a little nicer here.
Yeah,
like,
welcome,
$1 million on this.
Welcome back, Aniplex. All right, and see, we've got Serial Experiments Lane. See, DVD and Blu-ray complete collection. Might have to look into that.
Oh, yeah, I actually could start playing Persona 3 again, FES, so, yeah. Indeed. Somebody's watching me.
It's a porno.
Nobody's watching me. Nobody wants to watch me.
Yeah, well, I will be absolutely disappointed if that is not a hentai featuring Rockwell.
What?
I got the feeling somebody's watching me. That's the name of the singer, is Rockwell. Because he has a feeling that somebody's watching him, of uncultured swine.
I am so bad at this. I'm not uncultured. I don't recall. I think I heard a song, but I didn't know who it was by.
Okay, alright. For the manga releases, we have Airgear. Omnibus 3.
I'm going to classify this single form,
yeah.
Anyways.
Well, yeah, 3 times the size, so we'll burn longer.
Pseudo porn, anyways.
No, not Android. Pseudo.
Well,
it's porn, as far as I'm concerned.
Clarified, okay. Android Angels volume.
It's just a single volume.
Okay.
All right, Dragonar Academy volume 2.
Gangsta volume 2.
Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex 5.
Kanokan, volume 7 through 9, so that's an omnibus. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's just is it omnibus or just 7 through 9?
Well, I don't know. They're a little inconsistent in whether they say whether it's an omnibus or not. I'm just gonna say it's an omnibus.
Probably, yeah.
Yep. Alright, My Boyfriend is a Vampire, 13 to 14.
And What Did You Eat Yesterday, volume 3.
None of your business.
I had pizza, I had cereal, I had an In-N-Out burger. Wait, what am I even talking about?
Blech, In-N-Out.
Ugh. You don't like In-N-Out? How dare you?
It's overrated. Ugh. Besides, the fries they make there are the worst.
Blech. No, well, really, because I always eat those fries every time, all of them.
They're nasty and they're disgusting, and you should have real fries, because just the random single shop stores down here have better fries. So,
well, right. It's all about taste for you, but then you're the cook, so you probably know better.
Yeah, those, yeah, no. Yeah, In-N-Out fries are way overrated.
Well, right. I don't like In-N-Out because of their dry, because the hot crowd of the damn place can be.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well go somewhere else. Better fries. Anyway, other releases. Drakengard 3 for the PlayStation 3.
They're still making that? Wow, okay. Hakuoki, Stories of the Shinsengumi, placed for the PlayStation 3, game limited edition.
Mm-hmm. And Mugen Souls Z for the PlayStation 3.
I'm quite sure that's a strategy RPG.
I guess. I don't know.
It's by Nisa. I can tell.
Ah, okay. Alright.
Things.
All right, well, okay, what else do you have?
Naruto's number one in U.S. bookstores in April. And guess which volume was it that made number one? Volume 65.
Sheesh. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We should all be ashamed.
Yes, that's why I wanted to bring it up. I was like, okay, so, what? Really? How?
People have bad taste, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, and then there's also Attack on Titan, Bleach, Sword Art Online, Ironclad also ranked. Attack on Titan, the first volume ranked at number 7.
Alright.
Followed by volume 2 at 8, and then volume 3 at number 14, and then volume 9 at 20. Volume 60 of Bleach ranked at 13, and I believe it was just the first volume of Sword Art Online made it to rank 15, so... Somehow Naruto beat all these. Yeah. I mean, I can understand Bleach, but I have a time drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well.
No worries.
Well, the four volumes appeared back in March still.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's I'm a little disappointed in people for liking Naruto that much, but whatever. That's your prerogative.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Alright.
That's the downer. Okay. So, Viz is going to run, the Shonen Jump, that is. He's going to run the Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc V one-shot manga, and for record, I've read it. I don't know if he read it.
I didn't bother.
Well, at least the design wasn't horrendous with the hair.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad. I'll just say
I'll
that
have to go back and read it.
Yeah, just read it. It's a one-shot, don't worry. Mm. And, of course, it's based off the anime, so that anime began airing in Japan last month.
Mm. Alright, well, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, Viz offers Fate Stay manga in digital format. The first volumes were previously released by Tokyo Pop. I don't know if they're still around, though, Tokyo Pop. At least not here, in the States.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed.
Fate Stay manga.
Yeah, I never read that one. I don't know. I've heard. I mean, that's obviously the series I've heard about. But
it began as a light novel, light visual novel. Mm. I believe a visual novel.
Indeed, I'm not that interested. I mean, I'm sure it's fine, but not that interested.
I don't know. The when I checked out, I think it's something similar, like how you just summon beings and they fight for you, something like that.
I think that's basically what it was, yeah, but I don't know. Nonetheless, it was not too worried.
I could still try and watch. I think it'd be anime somewhere. Anyways, last bit of news. Digital manga adds Dance Blade of the Spirit Master. No pants, no problem. Also, additional volumes of Finder, Border, and Twittering Birds Never Fly.
Interesting title.
Yeah, no pants, no problem.
Darn right.
I'm not gonna explain much. You look at it yourself. I'm not gonna tell you.
That's how I record the podcast.
Oh yeah, I thought you would dress up.
Yes. Yes, you did think that.
I wear pants. I wear pajama pants. No shirt.
Oh, well. Yep, and so that's it for the news then?
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, well, fair enough. In that case, yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment where we will review One Piece Volumes 34, 35, and 36. We'll see you all there. It's time for the manga review for the week. And this week we are going over Volumes 34, 35, and 36 of One Piece, which... Volume 34 being the wrap-up for the Davy Back fight, the introduction of Aokiji, jeez, the introduction of Akainu.
What are you talking about?
The manga would have been over now if they'd run into Akainu at this point.
Like, hello? Oh, wait, I am Akainu. Is he won the Emerald and Rob's like, crap, we're dead.
Yeah, it's like, Akainu is like, let me hug you. Oh no, you're on fire and you're dead. Yeah.
What did you just say?
This would have been a very short manga indeed, but yeah. So, yeah, and besides, when we move from there, we need to take a pause and talk about Akainu. Well, before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the finale of the Davy Back fight, which was, of course, hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's plenty of little moments in there that fans can interpret however which way they want, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you've got, Foxy being stupid all the way, and he's like, Super Vengeance, shoulder throw! So it's like, what an idiot, because Luffy's arm just stretches. And yeah, and then they get rid of the Foxy Pirates, never to be seen again.
Ah, thank goodness.
But Derek, what about the anime? Never to be seen again.
Well, I like porn. Well, too bad. Never to be seen again.
Go look up porn. I'm sure it's out there.
Probably. Of the character. Not much, though.
It's like in the anime, in between getting to Water 7, it's like the Foxy Pirates show up like 3 more times. It's awful. Yeah. Let's see. So that's that. I mean, it's funny and entertaining, but with Akainu, son of a fucking bitch.
Aokiji.
This writers is why you don't have multiple characters whose names begin with the same damn letter.
But if you did that, you could only have 26 characters in the story.
Not total. Main characters. I mean, okay, look. What do you think would happen if, say, for example, Harry Potter, all the main characters started with H, like Harry and Hermione and Hubert and... Wait a minute.
Honnold. So. Hickhonagold, Humbledore, Voldemort.
No, but I mean, okay, there is... I mean, it's not just the first letter, but Honk. Names that sound similar, you know?
Honk.
Like Akainu, Aokiji...
It's meant to be red dog, blue pheasant, and yellow monkey.
Yeah, I know, but when you read it, you've got multiple sounds in the word that sound the same. A-O-K-I-J-I-K-I. You know, A-O-K-I-K-I. You know, it sounds very similar, and it's easy to get confused, and that is why this is all Oda's fault that I'm mispronouncing the name.
I find it funny. We're a great moment right there. Like, what the heck is happening? Like, no one will take a ticket at all.
Yeah, but anyway, the introduction of Aokiji and discovering that, one, he's an admiral, which at the time, since I'd started off One Piece by watching the anime, and they're like, he's an admiral? And I was like, well, yeah, but so is that fat guy during the Apis arc.
What?
Oh, wait, that was filler, that doesn't count.
Oh, at least so, in, yeah.
Yeah, in German, I don't remember if it was the same in English, but in German, they called the guy an admiral, and then I was like, well, that arc just ruined everything.
I just want to point about Aokiji's introduction is that before he was actually introduced, there was a little chapter near end or middle, during Davy Back, or before Davy Back when he was leaving and stuff, but before he's introduced in this volume, there's just two panels in two pages that he appeared in, not on the same page. Right. And couldn't tell, but I looked in, and I was like, and because when one of them said, hey, how long have you been standing there? Like, I've been sleeping here the whole time. I'm like, wait, go back. Oh my god, I see him. I thought he was a statue. What's on the statue? Huh. Like, where did that statue get? How did that statue get? That's a very nice statue, Tony. Huh. That's a very nice statue.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Didn't even, what the heck, yeah. Man? This is why I like Fuda. He does the foreshadowing so well, even need to say it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you definitely have to. I mean, that's, if anything, this reread has taught me that you have to pay attention to every single detail in the panels. Otherwise, so reading One Piece takes a lot of time because you have to pay attention, especially at this point, kind of like at the height of Oda's, this part is kind of like the height of Oda's ability, in my own personal opinion, but. Yeah, as far as this part of the story, this part of the story, the introduction of Aokiji was very much similar to the Baroque Works arc in that it really builds up the whole idea of, look, here is someone that is way more powerful than Luffy, and this is someone that Luffy can't beat. And up to this day, Luffy still cannot face Aokiji or any of the admirals properly. So it's like the introduction of, this is a character so insanely powerful, and it's the fact that he uses ice that is really cool, because normally you don't think of ice as this overpowered ability, but Aokiji is kind of an overpowered character, and it works really well for the story. And yeah, and then the rest of the volume is them getting to Water 7. They basically explore the new location and everything, and a lot of stuff happens, way more than we can get into detail with.
Man.
But yeah.
It's a bit of the money and stuff, basically. The money. Seriously, when they say don't mention the money, and then Usopp even actually says, let's try to be careful with the 200 million, with 300 million, and they're like, I'm like, Usopp, shut up!
Yeah, you're the one that's
idiots. I mean, Luffy, but then Usopp like, what the heck? You're the one that says don't shout about the money, and you shout about it.
Yeah, I love the scene with you know, how Nami is basically grifting the guy to give them more, because she's like, hey, don't go cheating us, because I know exactly how much this is worth, and my captain here is worth 100 million berries, so. Yeah, I don't want to hear you lying to me anymore. And then there's just so much awesome stuff here. It would take forever to go over it. But like the introduction of Kaku, you know, one of the carpenters at Galila. And just his introduction, and everyone's just, they're just all, Luffy, Usopp, and Nami are just staring at him. And Luffy's just like, Usopp? It's like, I'm right here. And yeah, they go, there's like, hey, we want to talk to Iceberg and everything, and Kaku decides to go and, you know, take a look at the ship, and Zoro's like, and just as he's like jumping around, it's like, Sanji sees him like, Usopp? And then he lands on the ship, and Zoro's like, oh, it's just Usopp. And then he's like, doing a side-by-side comparison, and he's like, wait, who are you?
No.
and then you end up by finding out that, hey, Kaku says, hey, you know what? Your ship is kind of busted. You know, this ship can never sail again. You know, it's too broken. We have to fix it. And yeah, and Usopp gets kidnapped by these thugs. Robin gets approached by some guy in a mask who's like, I'm with CP9. And then suddenly she's all worried and everything. And yeah, I mean, this volume, oh my gosh, there's so much material in here.
Yeah,
it's like we could spend forever. I mean, we could do a volume a week talking about this damn series. Like, we really could.
Might be one of my favorite arcs.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be El Skypiea.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those arcs that I think. The thing with this arc for me is that Skypiea was the first arc that I really saw after I finally managed to get past Baroque Works. This one is the first one that felt like, you know, like a proper continuation of the story. And it had the most you know, the biggest, you know, impact, you know, the revelation that, oh, hey, look, there are people way more powerful than the Straw Hats. Oh, look, Robin has some kind of secret past. Oh, look, the ship is never going, cannot sail again.
Yeah, you know, the ship incurred too much damage between Water 7 and Alabasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then, don't forget, folks.
Yeah,
those arcs mattered. Well, in between those two.
Well, yeah, yeah, it did. It is true. It's all paying off here, but yeah, and with moving on to volume 35. Speaking of momentous moments, basically they, you know, the Gully Law explains, and also just worth noting, volume 34 is thick, like. Really, really, really thick. There's like, let me hold them up together next to each other.
Thick
like
enough to kill a big cockroach with it?
No, I mean, but big enough to have like, I swear, two extra chapters in it. Let me actually see how many chapters are in here. There's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 chapters in volume 34. And how many in 35? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So two extra chapters. I was right. So it's weird things when they do things like this, where they make one volume thicker than the other, and I'm sort of thinking, wow, I'm getting two extra chapters for the exact same amount of money. But then every other time I'm like, I'm getting two less chapters for the exact same amount of money. What the hell?
Wait a second. Why am I not having no space on my bookshelf?
Yeah, suddenly volume 34 is my favorite just because it gives me more for my money. Oh, jeez. But yeah, talking about volume 35, which feels really weird to hold because it's so much shorter. But yeah, so they find out, hey, there's no way we can't fix it. And then Usopp's gone. And find out that he's been beaten up badly by the Franky family, and they stole the money, and things have gotten dramatic.
Oh, and Luffy learns a valuable lesson as a captain from the iceberg.
Uh-huh, oh yeah. And then he, you know, and then everyone, you know, and let's see, yeah. And then everyone gets Usopp and, you know, surrounds him, and they're like, you know what, okay, we're gonna go demolish that ridiculous house, and they go after the Franky family. And the Franky family is always like, oh, haha, we got money. And Luffy and group are like, screw you guys. And they beat him up.
Yep.
And yeah. And then Luffy, after they demolish it, Luffy decides, hey, we have to say farewell to the merry-go. And then there is an argument between them, you know. And then Usopp finds out that they're, you know, he's angry, you know, because he lost the money and everything. And then, of course, another... His pride has been broken pretty badly. And then Luffy tells him, hey, it was like, we're going to get a new ship. And Usopp is like, wait, no, don't we have enough money? He's like, come on, just because I got the 200 million stolen, you know, it was like, you know, we can't, you know, it was like, you know, just because I lost that money is like, you know, that's not a reason why we shouldn't be able to fix it. And then Luffy says, is like, you know, tells him she can't be fixed. And, you know, Usopp goes on and is like, you know, he doesn't want to leave the abandon the ship because it's, you know, he considers the ship a member of their crew. It was a gift from his home. And also, as we know, he'd seen the spirit of the ship in mm-hmm. Skypiea, which was why that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they basically have the first big argument between the crew, and Usopp decides to leave the crew. And this moment was just... What the? Because, you know, because until this point, I mean, sure, there had been some dark moments and everything, but One Piece had always been, oh, look, happy-go-lucky pirate adventures, but here it's like, everything is bad and dark and et cetera, et cetera, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And so on. It rains.
Yeah, and then Usopp and Luffy fight, and of course Luffy wins, but it's a really great fight just because, one, just the... drama and everything, and also, you know,
Luffy finding someone who pretty much knows what he can do.
Yeah, and not only that, but Usopp is actually really smart about it, and he's able to give a good show, but, you know, there's obviously no way he could win, and. You know, Chopper, you know, the other crew members, like, hey, you know, it was like, I think Nami's like, come on, stop it. And Chopper's like, oh, hey, we need to go help him. And Zoro says, Zoro and Sanji basically saying, hey, was like, no, you can't go to him. He left the crew, he's not one of us anymore, basically. And,
he's already been pitied. Just helping him out would only make his, only hurt his pride worse.
Pretty much, yeah. And, so Usopp is left with the ship, and then we find out that Iceberg was shot, the crew...
Who shot Iceberg?
Yeah, and it turns out Aqua Laguna is on its way, so everything's coming to a head. And we get introduced to Franky, the cyborg leader of the Franky family.
Aqua Laguna reminds me of Humonga Donga.
I guess, yeah.
It's called a high tide.
Yeah, and then Iceberg wakes up and says, I was shot by Nico Robin. And everyone's like, wait, the Straw Hat Pirates? And Franky and Luffy fight, and Franky's a cyborg and does all, uses all his cyborg abilities and... Yeah, and then you kind of end it, the chapter with the volume with everyone saying, hey, we need to go after, we need to go after the Straw Hats. And Luffy is like, wait, what's going on here? So yeah, this volume, oh my gosh, I mean, just.
So much tension.
Yeah, the tension between the characters. I mean, this is the first time we've ever really gotten that kind of tension, with the characters. They're all... arguing and fighting, and it's just so... I mean, I don't like series that only do that ever, but there's just seeing the way they... just seeing these characters that are normally so happy-go-lucky suddenly get into this huge argument is just, what? So,
and yeah. People call One Piece kidding.
Yeah, well, up until this point, it kind of was. But, yeah, Volume 35 is definitely one of those ones... where it's just like, oh, what the crap is going on here? And it's amazing.
I did like Frankie's introduction, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Like, they all called my name. We didn't call you. I'm like, wait. I'm looking back. Wait, nobody called your name, Frankie. Nobody called you at all.
I mean, honestly, this part of the story is kind of like one of the... This is kind of like One Piece at its best. And it really works because it was the first time Oda had ever done anything like this, which I really like, which is really good.
I have to admit, though, I was pretty upset when I found out that Iceberg was shot. I was just upset. I was like, who shot the guy?
Yeah, it's like, that's not nice. But yeah, let's move on. To answer that question, let's move on to volume 36 of One Piece. All right, so this one, you've got the Straw Hats on the run because now the... Galila Company are coming after them, and they're all kind of pissed. And so, they decide, okay, pistols won't work on you, so they get out these saws, and I'm like, jeez, what the heck? That's crazy. And then,
That's smart. It's like, oh, pistols won't work. We got saws. Oh, right, the carpenters. They got saws, of course, they got saws.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then you've got Frank, who, of course, is like, oh, man, Galila, I hate you guys. And he fights them, and he uses his coup de vent, which blows this massive hole.
Air cannon.
And
Air cannon blows a massive hole, yeah.
Yeah, and Luffy and Nami escape. And, of course, all the shippers are like, oh, look, they're holding each other. And I'm like, and sane fans are like, oh, shut up. But yeah, so it's basically Luffy tries to, he goes to see Iceberg, and Iceberg's like, hey, I need to see Nico Robin one more time, and Luffy's like, I don't know where she is. And yeah, seems like Iceberg is saying, like, yes, I need to get a little closer to the truth, and yeah, so the Straw Hats are all, oh, hey, I don't believe what's going on, Robin wouldn't do that. And then we find out that Robin is doing something shady, and Sanji and Chopper run into her, and Robin says, hey, I'm leaving. And she leaves. And then, yeah. And so we're kind of thinking, wait, is Robin a friend or is she an enemy? What's going on here? So, yeah, it's kind of a big moment. And let's see. Let's see what else from there. Yeah, you've got the Straw Hats trying to, get into Iceberg's mansion to figure out what the heck is actually going on, and then the people from that we discover, people from CP9 show up, and they discover that it is Robin that did it, but then, you know, you see all these masked people from CP9, and they're saying, oh, hey, you know, it's kind of a mystery. Who are they? And then we get the really awesome moment as Robin is trying to, oh, hey, give me the blueprints. And then, and so you find out that, let's see, the blueprints are fake, and then... And then you have that moment of Luffy showing up, and he gets held down, and there's the moment where with Luffy and Polly incapacitated, you have the reveal that the members of CP9 are actually Lucci, Kaku, Khalifa, and Bruno from the bar. As the One Piece podcast is so fond of saying,
from the bar. Well, basically, Bruno appeared in the couple panels where Franky met with Coco, I wanted to mention. I was like, why didn't you mention that?
It's just kind of silly because, like, oh no, it's that guy from the bar, Bruno. It's just, it's just kind of silly. It's just very much, it's sort of, oh, hey, this guy is meaningful, except he's only shown up, like, once. But I really like the scene where you get the reveal right before they take off their masks, and Lucci's pigeon appears, and you're like, wait. It's like, what's going on here? And
when you pick up his hat, I was like, wait. At first, I was like, at first, the reader before who didn't figure out the video, I got taken Lucci's hat. How dare you, bastard? Mm-hmm. A nice hat. I'm taking it. It's mine now.
Yeah, and then, of course, Luffy gets away, and he charges in, and he's like, I'm going to take you guys down and everything. So, yeah, these three volumes really make for great reading, because in the first one, you've got, like, all the introduction of, oh, hey, here's Akainu. Oh, here's, you know, we're never going to keep the ship.
Aokiji.
Ah, son of a... Yeah, Aokiji. Yeah, and then the second one, you've got Usopp's like, I will leave the crew. And then this one, Robin is a traitor, or is she a traitor? And, oh, look, these guys from the Galila Company are spies. And, yeah, it makes for a really good, great, tense reading, and probably one of the most exciting parts of One Piece to read week by week, I imagine. So, yeah. Overall, high praises. This is definitely shaping up to be a lot of fun, I'll find. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think, did you have anything to add, or shall we move on to our next segment?
Reveal hurt me so much, my brother. I was like, why, Kaku?
It doesn't quite have the same impact the second time around, but the first time, I had that same reaction. It was like, oh, Kaku, why?
Why Lucci? Why isn't you?
Lucci I didn't really care about, but Kaku, I was just like, oh, he's so nice. He's one of the bad guys? Oh, well, I guess technically he's one of the good guys because he's with the government, and usually they're the good guys. But in this case, no, the government are the bad guys in this case.
Yeah. And then Bruno's like, that guy from the bar.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, this guy's like, we've only... It's like, I can just imagine Oda was just slapping himself. It's like, ugh, I really should have introduced him sooner. But, all right. Well, yeah, definitely great sets of volumes to read. I highly recommend them for anyone. You know, these are kind of, I find, you know, I mean, granted, you won't get as much out of One Piece if you just read these because you don't know what's going on. But it is still pretty self-contained that you can see what One Piece looks like at its best. And so... definitely recommended, though I would definitely say, you know, if you haven't been reading it every volume up to these, then, you know, it won't be the proper experience, but definitely some good volumes to get people interested. If you don't mind explaining all the character relationships and everything, but, all right, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment, shall we?
Yeah.
Time for the manga commentary of the week, starting with Seraph of the End, chapter 20.
Before we start, how about we talk about that thing about the Toriko on the cover?
What?
You know, the whole Toriko and greeting thing.
Oh, Toriko call. Oh, right, yeah. Okay,
that.
Good
At least
point.
Mention that, because that's actually, it's like, hey, look, Japan's finally know this stuff. About time.
Yeah, let's see, yeah, so, right, yeah, basically, if you check it out, you can submit ingredient ideas to Toriko, and they're actually letting this be done by people from, you know, overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, I'm going to find an ingredient for Toriko, I'm going to give anything for a monster, a plant, or for the weather. As long as it can be consumed, it's fair game. We're going to give you a chance to have your ingredient featured in the actual Toriko manga. Let's see, here's how it works. Think up an ingredient and draw a rough sketch. Remember, an ingredient can be anything you can drink or eat. Submit it to us through our fan art submission form. Make sure you put the name of your ingredient in a quick description and details about your submission box. Let's see, you can submit your idea digitally or mail it in. We'll send it to Shimabukuro Sensei. And if he likes them, he'll use them in Toriko, and you'll be credited in the actual manga. There is no deadline. You can enter as many times as you want. I'm actually thinking I want to do that.
You should do that. You you are a cook yourself. You can definitely do it. I don't know what heck I would. If I submit an idea and they actually put it in, and you'd be like, how do you get credited?
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't know. I
would be kind of curious. But, yeah, it looks like fun. I mean, they're starting to be more global about it, which is that's really what's been exciting about you know, reading the digital chapters like this, is how they are very much a lot more you know, becoming more and more global. Mm-hmm. Like it used to be when we started, you know, how it was 2 weeks behind because I guess there's a certain sense of, no, wait, Japan should get the chapters first. But then, you know, or at least I'm sure there are quite a few people that thought like that. And then, you know, they made it simultaneous, and now they're accepting submissions for, you know, for Toriko from us. So, who knows? Maybe it won't be much longer before our vote, you know, our votes will actually matter.
Yes, except we don't read the same series that they do. They have more series than we have Shonen Jump. Way more.
Well, true, but
and plus some of those series wouldn't even make it here because of you know, yeah, content reasons.
Well, I don't know. I mean, still, it would be nice if we could, you know, say for example, they give some new ones and we at least had some say in it. You know, that way they're just like, you know, if you know, everybody in Japan hates, for example, Cross-Managed, but all the American fans are like, no, it's really good, then, you know, they'd either keep it around or make it a digital-only kind of thing, or, you know, something
for
that...
America only gets... USA only gets it. Wait, then I like Ringo, too bad.
Yeah, well, anyway...
Playing your fellow Japanese.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about the actual chapters. Starting with chapter 20 of Seraph of the End, and... Yeah, you know, this chapter, I actually kind of enjoyed the first part. It actually made me laugh with, you know, with Shinoa and
Mitsuba.
Yeah. Where they're just doing like, hey, play along. I was like, oh, it was like, Kimizuki, that was so nice of you. He's like, aren't I amazing? He's like, you, Kimizuki. And they're doing their whole spiel, just making fun of Kimizuki. And then and it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But then you get
it's like a jab at the whole yaoi thing. It's like, oh, thank you for helping me. And it's
I don't think it's meant to be that. I don't think it's the author making any kind of statement. I think it's just them making fun of him. You know, just poking fun at the fact that he's being nice. And then the thing that, I mean, and it's kind of bland, generic or whatever, but the thing that really kind of sells me on the gag is right, you know, right at the end there, on the next page, where they're to be continued, as they're just kind of both hugging each other and giving Kimizuki this, like, just flat stare. That was really funny. I like that. And see, then other than that, the rest of the chapter is just, Yu and his Asamaru blah, blah.
His demon.
Asamaru ding a dong a ding dong. But yeah, we find out that their demons are basically vampire, what vampires turn into, I guess, is what we're meant to take from this.
Yeah, I looked that up. I looked it up online about the whole difference between vampires and demons. Mm. Basically, if you take the blood sucking out of vampires, they generally would be demons. And then demons generally are like a pure evil.
Yeah, and then they don't pure, take pure the blood evil. Sucking out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that, you know, that whole, the scene in his flashback. Oh, this is traumatic scene where his dad tried to kill him because he says he's a demon spawn. And it's just
I swore we saw that before.
Yeah, but you see, the thing that gets me is it's so stupid. You know, nobody ever said, nobody, even if they were faced by a demon child, would say, you're a demon spawn. Nobody talks like that.
Wait, it's Tremor Reflexes. No.
Real life is what I'm
talking
about. Oh,
real life, yeah.
It's just like that phrase, demon spawn. That's not, it just sounds so stupid. It's impossible to take this scene seriously because I'm torn between laughing at how stupid this writing is versus just crying over the fact of how stupid this writing is. It's just, you're demon spawn. It's like, who the hell talks like that?
Apparently Japanese thinks we talk like that.
Well, it's not even the Japanese. This is all the translator.
The translator apparently thinks we talk like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it's really stupid, you know? It's just, I don't know. I mean, the whole, the parent tries to kill the kid because the kid has some kind of supernatural power. That's been done before. But still, it's just that phrasing makes it sound so childish, you know? But
sounds like something from, like, the typical horror movie. You're a demon spawn.
A B-rated horror movie.
B-rated horror movie.
Yeah, but
so this is a B-rated manga?
Yeah, what?
Probably.
Well, you didn't realize?
Content in it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, you know, you basically like, we will become
friends.
Yeah, we'll be friends because not having friends sucks. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, that was literally my reaction to this chapter. I was like, oh, for fucking fuck's sake. This is so stupid. But anyway, the beginning was good. The ending was, the last couple pages were okay.
You know, I know it doesn't matter, but I really can't tell if the demon's supposed to be a girl or a boy.
I don't give two shits.
I thought so.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about One Piece, an actually good manga. Why do they always, I swear, it's like the last 3 weeks, it felt like they've insisted on beginning with Seraph of the End. I'm just like, stop. It's not good. I don't care what any of you think. This is not a good manga. It's just, it can have its good moments, but in general, it's really generic and stupid, or it's insulting to anyone that likes writing that isn't awful. But anyway, One Piece, chapter 748.
So, I like it.
Shut up.
Okay.
You're wrong. It's a bad manga. Anyway, One Piece, 748. I kind of like the cover. It's kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of goofy with Heracles and acting all cool on a horse. And I'm just like, that's funny.
But how it's submitted by the same person who's been submitting some of the ideas like a few times. I'm like,
yeah, I can just imagine that I can just imagine that there's a lot of One Piece fans that have been submitting that are getting a little furious right now at this person's name showing up more than once.
Yep.
And so I'm just like, you know what? I wouldn't be, since it's Noda, Oda,
no.
Skywalker, I wouldn't be surprised if that was, if that was just Oda's, if it was just Oda's pen name. It was like, what? No, this isn't Oda. It's Noda. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't want to take any suggestions from anyone. I just want to draw what I want to draw. So here, this is a suggestion that I got. He's like, well, actually, that seems kind of stupid. It's like, I'm drawing it. Okay. All right, well, anyway, the actual chapter. This was a really great chapter. I mean, starting off with the fact that Luffy just won't stop laughing. And I just love as they're running away and Zoro's like, Luffy, you shouldn't tease your opponents, like... And I'm just thinking, it's like, I need to get caught up on the anime because I really want to... really, really want to see this part because I can just imagine it's going to be the funniest thing ever. And, yeah, we get a massive punch to the city by the city because if you look at Pika's arm, you can see that there are actually still buildings on it.
Yep, I feel sorry for those people living on those buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this is just basically a chapter of, oh, hey, look at all these other characters. And you got Cavendish that shows up again, and I love this, where he attacks Law, and Luffy's like, what's the big idea? He's on my crew now. And Law's just like, no, I'm not. And suddenly I'm thinking that would actually be really funny if it turns out that Law becomes the next crew member because, you know, nobody's suspected him because he has his own pirate crew. Or at least he had. They're not here right now, but he's his own pirate captain, and so it would be absolutely hilarious if, like, we find out something happened to his crew, they're all gone or whatever, and then he ends up joining the Straw Hats because nobody would have called it because...
You need a crying moment, a really good crying moment.
Probably, yeah. Well, given that we've been hinting at a flashback for him, then, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll kind of have to probably expect something like that. And also, I like... Yeah, like Cavendish is like just trying to kill him. He's like, I found this, your hat. Now stick out your neck. Your head needs its hat. It's like, I'm guessing you'd rather cut it off. And yeah, so, and then from there on, it's just a Luffy arguing against everyone from the Colosseum that's showing up and they're saying, like, we need to repay our debt to you. You must, you know, we will defeat Doflamingo for you. Luffy's like, no, I'm going to defeat him.
Actually, hang on. There's this one panel where Kevin is like, I will get Doflamingo, and Luffy's like, no, that's my job. I have to pay back Rebecca for buying me lunch. And I was like, you start all this over food?
Yep.
Yep, all over food.
Yes, indeed. And it's like, you're just wondering, it's like, okay, look, there's plenty of guys with swords showing up. Could somebody please cut those cuffs off of Law? But, yeah, We also have Hyrudin, who decides to join up with Luffy. And you know what's kind of interesting? He reminds me of, let's see, was it?
Oh, you mean the giant?
Yeah, the giant. He reminds me of, which one was it? Was it Dory or Brogy?
Dory.
Dory, yeah, he was the one with the sword and the long brown beard.
Brogy's from the axe.
Okay, yeah, he does kind of remind me of him, don't you think?
He does.
You know, because he looks less cartoonish than Brogy or the, than Brogy or the Giants from Aeneas Lobby. You know, they all kind of had a bit of a cartoonish look to him, while, you know, Hyrudin and Dory, yeah, or wait, well, whichever one it is.
Dory and Brogy were from Little Garden.
Well, yeah, but which one's the...
I don't remember the one from Aeneas Lobby. I'm sorry.
Which one of those two is the one with the brown hair again?
Where?
From Little Garden.
I think it was Brogy.
Brogy? Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, between those two, they kind of... Yeah, Hyrudin and Brogy look kind of, you know... They don't look so cartoonish. They just look more like regular, you know, two regular muscular people that just happen to be very big. And so, yeah. Another great panel is when Elizabello and Dagama show up, because Dagama's reaction to the bounties, what kind of gave
his story?
Yeah, with his is Dory. Okay,
it's Dory. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's like Dory to me personally.
Okay, gotcha. Right. Well, Dagama's reaction to the bounty kind of made me think, oh, everyone's gonna turn on them, and then to see people show up, and then have Elizabello and Dagama show up is like, you know, we owe King Riku a great debt, and he shall strike down Doflamingo. He's like, His Majesty is right. We don't want that bounty. Not a bit. And you see, Dagama's got these, like, bumps on his head. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's funny. It's just like, that's perfect comedy right there, because, you know what happened. You don't have to see it. And it's just perfect. And, Yeah, so basically everyone's like, hey, I'm going to be the one that defeats Doflamingo, is what everyone's saying. And yeah, so they charge.
There's a panel of Law Upside Down. And the panel of Luffy's like saying, "Not gonna follow you." And Law's like, "Oh my god, these guys are crazy. Yeah, get me out of here."
Yeah, he's just like, what is going on here? And it is neat when you see the other former toys that were the traitors that, you know, show up. And then all the guys that were actually, you know, have a conscience. It's just like, die, you ungrateful swine. And we get the return of Moosey. And then they just charge in the greatest two-page panel ever, where it's just like all of them just charging down, and the guard's like, like, what's going on here? And let's see, wait a minute, just got everyone. I don't see where Law is in that two-page spread.
Law's right here. He's right.
Oh, there below. He is. Yeah, he's just draped over the bowl and over Moosey, and he's just like,
I give up. I will kill him. I will kill them all.
Yep. And then, yeah, and then, of course, we end with another awesome, the best two-page spread ever, as Pika tries to attack them, but Elizabello uses a light edition of his King Punch, and, what's his face again?
That's not Lao.
Don Xin Zhao.
Don Xin Zhao.
He uses his Royal Dragon Nail, and they both connect and just shatter Pika's arm. And yeah, it's this promises to be a great climax, just because it's going to be everyone charging and wrecking shit up, and it's just like, yeah, go away, leave me alone.
And then after it's all over, it's like, oh, okay, Jeff Ross, what happened to the kingdom? Oh, right, remember when Pika took over the? Oh yeah. I sent across a lot to rebuild.
Whoops. Yep. All right. Well, this was a great chapter. It just had so many awesome moments in it.
Yep.
So, all right, let's move on to Bleach chapter. It's at the beginning. Oh my gosh. Bleach chapter 581, The Hero 2. Now, so it's got a color page, which is basically
that
the four girls.
Face.
Yeah, the four girls mugging at the camera. And I'm just like, okay, this is kind of weird looking, but moving on. And, yeah, so basically we kind of get to do the whole, hey, where is everyone now? With Hirako, Soifon, what's his face, Omaeda. And Hinamori, they're sort of like, hey, we're meeting up, and then...
You know, I almost didn't recognize Hinamori because I thought that looked like, what's his name, Hanataro. Almost. Except I saw Toby. I seen him. Like, that's terrible.
It's like, Hanataro, when did you get so kawaii?
When did you get that? Oh, I seen him already.
Yeah, you're like, when did he... That is not his ability.
That's clearly not his ability.
Yeah, remember, his power is to, you know, his sword can absorb wounds and then release them in one giant blast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so we see lightning and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, what is that lightning? And then, yeah, and then it lands, like, crashes into a tower, misses the girls and the, whatever their names are again, and they're just like, did it crash? And it's like, then Ichigo shows up. And of course, it's kind of weird where Kubo does this whole thing where it's like, I will only show him from the back to hide his identity, even though he's wearing the exact same clothes Ichigo is wearing, and he's carrying Ichigo's swords. So... yeah, that's the big dramatic reveal where I came to help you. It was kind of ruined by the fact that, well, who else was it going to be?
Yep.
But, yeah, it is a bit of a sort of Goku-esque moment, like Goku on Namek entrance, where everyone's been getting their shit wrecked, and then the hero shows up, and he's like, I'm going to help you, and I don't know.
Chapter was titled Hero.
Yeah. I like this because we finally get to see the main character again. I mean, Ichigo's not the most interesting of, shonen protagonists. Mm-hmm. At least not anymore. But, you know, it is nice to be able to see the main character again. So I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, I remember him. Oh, thank goodness, finally.
You know, like, hey, look, the main character is back about time.
I don't know what manga authors is... like Kubo and Kishimoto's obsession is with never focusing on the main character for like months on end. It's really irritating. But
yeah.
Oh well, we'll see what happens next. It was an okay chapter. I liked it mostly just because the entrance of Ichigo's return, even though it was pulled off kind of sillily. I do enjoy, you know, the fact that, hey, we're gonna focus on the main character again. Yay. So, alright. Let's see. And, alright, speaking of Kishimoto, let's move on to Naruto, chapter 677, The Infinite Tsukuyomi, where basically everyone looks up at the moon, and they're all, I am taken over.
Actually, they didn't have to really look at something, because there was a part where they got where those, those non-ninja people. They were like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, we've been playing games. I thought you were supposed to be sleeping or whatever. All of a sudden, like, well, listen, they're like, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, they have to look at the moon. Okay, that makes
sense. It doesn't affect the people that are, you know, the zombie people, but it does affect anyone that's alive. And, you know, if they either they happen to be looking at it or they're away.
Shines on them.
Yeah, or not even shines on them because it can work through roofs. But I also want to say that I kind of do like the design of how you see, what's-her-face, the demon woman ladies, the mother of the Sage of Six Paths, how it basically, you know, her image shows up with the moon as, like, the third eye, which I think that looks kind of cool, but I did have Evangelion flashbacks there. PTSD of Evangelion.
It's like, dang, I forgot her name. Kogomi, Kagomi, no.
Kazuya.
Hang on. It's let me check.
It's not actually important.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, so, but yeah, everyone is, yeah, pretty much everyone is taken over. I am amused by the fact that sort of you have a panel of B looking up at the, looking up at it, and you can't tell if he's hypnotized or not because he's got his sunglasses on.
Kaguya,
okay.
Sorry. I was trying to think. I looked up the tail of the bamboo club. Oh, yeah, it's working.
Right, yeah. But, yeah. So, you know, you don't know. Maybe it would be amusing if it turns out that B is immune because he wears sunglasses.
And I didn't think of like that. It's like, well, why is everybody acting all crazy? And he's sitting on the rhyming as usual. Yeah. Like, wait.
And then the tree
of life.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
It wraps them up with these things and picks them up like pods. So I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm having Matrix flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. So, I haven't finished the second movie yet.
Yeah, don't bother. But nonetheless, you know, I don't know. As they're all being wrapped up, it seems like, you know, even though they're, you know, under the illusion or whatever, Hinata's still thinking, it's like, I can't move. Naruto. I'm just like, yay, you, look, Kishimoto, if you're seriously trying to end this with her ending up with Naruto, well, I've got some bad news for you. You kind of fucked up royally because this is a character that anyone in their right mind wouldn't give two shits about because she hasn't done anything besides show up every once in a while for you to be able to say, oh, look, they're totally meant to be together. You know, it gets really annoying when, especially when a character's entire character arc is focused only on liking a specific character.
That's, you know, true.
Why do you think people hated Sakura? The reason I started liking her more, well, at first I didn't find her so bad at the beginning, but then when I reread it, I was like, well, this is kind of crappy. But, you know, that's kind of why I think she was better after the time skip, was because she wasn't completely focused on Sasuke. And then Kishimoto went and freaking ruined it by having her still be all about Sasuke. And so then I was like, well, she's a annoying character now, but at least she has a little more depth. Hinata, on the other hand, and I don't see why people like her more. The only difference is that she's, you know, that she likes the main character instead of the guy that's a complete jerk. You know, I'm just thinking that doesn't, I don't see how this people like this more, like her more, because she's exactly the same as Sakura, except she's even more useless because she never does anything except for every once in a while, just so that people can't say definitively she's never done anything. But the only things she does is entirely predicated by her feelings for the main character. While Sakura, a lot of the stuff she does is, you know, predicated by her feelings for Sasuke, and that's awful. But at least she has had moments where she has done things because she, you know, because she is, you know, Naruto's her friend, and she's like, I should help him, kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more there, but I don't know. I think Hinata's completely worthless. I mean, most of the female characters in this series are kind of worthless because they are terribly written. But anyway, you kind of end up with everyone being captured except Naruto and Kakashi, Sasuke, and Sakura, because they're covered by his Susanoo. So, you know, he's able to protect them, but they can't leave. So that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, how long is that going to last? The chakra thingy.
Yeah, and then, and this was kind of unclear at first. It was, okay, that's what it was. I kind of missed it. We found out that the person wearing the Tobi mask, turns out it's Yamato.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. That was really hard. It was really hard to tell because, but yeah, he shows up and then afterwards is like, oh, wait. Oh, that's what was going on there. Oh, I was completely confused. That's terribly written. But I guess he was being controlled by the Zetsu.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does, you do see that he gets wrapped up in the thingy. But anyway, that, yeah.
Dang, I'm trying to find it.
It was an okay chapter, but I was not a huge fan of it. Just mostly because it's, I don't know.
The other stuff.
Yeah.
Other than the chapter itself, like, oh, great. More reiteration.
It is mostly just the chapter where, oh, look, bad stuff happened. Look, things have gotten to their worst, and now sort of like, oh, hey, how are they going to win? And I'm just like, just finish it, please.
Oh, yeah, now I see it. Yeah, it is your model.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, let's talk about Toriko chapter 278, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, so this chapter, yeah, basically they're forced underwater and into a massive maze. Where,
underwater maze.
Yeah, an underwater maze where it's the only way to get out is with food luck. And so they're like, hey, Komatsu. And Komatsu's like, And we get a great...
Time to shine again.
Yeah, we get a great set of panels as... You know, as Zebra uses his Echo map, and he's like, wow, that's one hell of a map.
Maze.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm looking, I'm like, wait, where are they in, like, top, very far in? Oh my.
Yeah.
That's more elaborate than the map I made back in ninth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like this little mini journal, and on the back, I just drew it, underwater map, underwater maze map, and, like, monsters here and there. I'm like, man, now I feel like I just can't do anything.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, the easy way to get through a maze is just stick to the right. Just always walk along the right side, and eventually it will get you out of there.
Well, what if they run into one of those big thingies?
Well, you look through, and they're, like, turning around. But, yeah, so, yeah, it's mostly them being like, hey, we need to trust in food luck to get out of here, and oh, look, monsters, like, ah, crap.
I seriously want to save this page, like,
and yeah, that is a pretty great one.
You want to.
And let's see. And then we kind of end the chapter with the so-called froze appearing as like, look, this is food luck, Acacia. And you're sort of like, oh, what's this all about? Interesting, but...
Acacia, why are you saying his name all of a sudden?
I don't know. Maybe he's there. But yeah, it was an okay chapter. I liked it. It was... Yeah. I mean, what can I say? It was a lot of fun, I thought. I mean, mostly just because I thought that the maze design was so freaking impressive.
Yeah, but I don't think they'll go through everything in that maze.
Probably not.
Way too much. Now, if it was a video game, be like, nope, I'm not going to get through that at all. I'm going to skip it. Yeah. It's optional. Nope, not playing this game. No way.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, this is pretty great. This is pretty crazy. I like that design. I like how it also shows that hey, it's even bigger than what we see.
Even in the maze, it's like there's like a place with treasure chests, and it's like even shining. Like what? There's treasure chests in here. What the heck? This is an RPG game or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like find a treasure chest. It's like, hey, look, I found something. Now how to get out? Oh, crap! Yeah. How to get out? I mean, there's one below a volcano, underwater volcano.
Yeah, one that looks like a brain. But it's probably just a little mini maze inside the maze. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Let's see. But, yeah, it was a great chapter. I liked it. Alright, let's see. They've got that one shot for the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Series, which, I'm gonna be honest, I don't care. It's not very long, but it's just... I didn't even read it. All I need to do is skim it. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card fight. That's all it is.
It's entertainment. It's clearly why I read. I think it's pretty much about entertainment now. Like, you know, it's like a circus.
Yeah, well.
Put it that way.
But, yeah, nonetheless, it's just like, oh, hey, look, it's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fight, and like, oh, hey, look, we're not even going to conclude this battle. So, you know, that's a waste of time. Let's instead talk about chapter 16 of All You Need Is Kill, which this one was, interesting. I felt like I'd missed something, but Rita basically decides, oh, hey, look, you know, one of us has become the antenna, that's why we can't, you know, escape, so I have to kill you or you have to kill me, and only one of us can escape this maze, and I swear I felt like there was some kind of a jump made here that I missed, but... It's basically them fighting, Keiji saying, I'm not going to die, and fighting against Rita and whatnot, and they kind of end with both of them striking and taking poses in the back of each other.
Taking those, you know, samurai poses, ching, and then all of a sudden, for like a few seconds, to one of them fall down.
Yeah, it feels, I don't know, it feels out of place. It's kind of a weird chapter.
Yeah, well, should I say it or should I say it later?
Well, you mean the fact that there's only one more chapter left?
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, we've got one more chapter of this left, so.
Well, it is an adaptation of the original series, so.
Well, yeah, I kind of thought it was gonna go for a bit longer, but oh well. If it's just a short thing, that's okay. I was just kind of hoping it would be we'd get a little more there, but. All right, well, it was okay, but confusing to me, just because kind of don't know. I feel like I missed the last chapter somehow, even though I'm sure I read it. So I'm not sure how we suddenly got to, hey, we must kill each other.
Yeah, I was so totally confused about that, too.
Yeah, oh well. Yeah, so we've got, chapter 13 of Stealth Princess, where...
Stealth Symphony.
Oh, right. Sorry, I was... looking at Alice and then for some reason thought princess, and I was like, wait, what?
Well, she is a princess. Actually, we didn't get that.
Well, sort of, I don't know. Yeah, well, Stealth Symphony, and this is another one of those moments where it's like, you know, where Jig says, hey, I need a place to stay, do you know a place where I could rent? And then Alice is like, oh, I could rent your room, and he's like, living in Alice's house? He's like, living together? And it's just, that moment doesn't feel like it works, because... We've only known these characters for 13 chapters, and we don't know anything about them.
Well, it's getting the axe, according to the rankings I've been seeing online.
Yeah, most likely. And for darn good reason, because, you know, it's like it's acting like a manga that's been around for 100 chapters, while it just doesn't work. I mean, these moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to live in Alice's house, and this is embarrassing because she's a hot chick, but that's it. She's a hot chick, and so he's going to be living with her, and he's thinking, oh, that's embarrassing. But...
Okay, not to compare, but, you know, Fairy Tail, right? How most of the entire guild got introduced in Chapter 2.
Right.
But we didn't start getting, like, we only got focused on a couple of the characters throughout the series.
Well, yeah.
But the rest, like, make appearances every here and now and then, all that.
See, that's the thing. When you're writing... You need to have depth, but you can't go into deep detail with everyone. What you have to do is you have to dig deep with like one or two characters, dig moderately deep with a couple other characters, and then you can dig shallowly with the remaining group of cast of characters, and people will think, oh, there's more to them if you just say a little bit without going into detail, like how Mashima had the whole, oh, hey, look, these are the characters and these are their, you know, this is their information and this is their backstory and everything. It worked because he'd gone into detail with Lucy, Natsu, Gray, and Urza. With here, there's like a large cast of characters, but none of them have been explored in any depth.
Yeah.
And it's like this chapter starts to go into Alice as we find out that she's, you know, she's got the ability, she's able to absorb powers, and one of the powers is if she gets hurt, she creates money. And, you know, so we're going a little in depth into her, but this is 13 chapters. This is several months worth of publication. It just doesn't, we haven't gotten anything about any of the characters, and suddenly we're starting to get a little more in-depth on one of them, but I don't even know who the hell the damn main character is. And they focus on the whole, oh, he may be dangerous, which is like, okay, good and fine, but I don't, still, if it's meant to be a twist that it turns out this guy's kid is actually, you know, he turns out he's actually evil or he's actually dangerous, you need to actually give us a little more before you do that twist. Because right now he's a freaking blank slate because the author can't be bothered to develop him more because it's going to be some kind of twist and the twist is going to fall flat because we don't care. The main character has nothing about him and so his entire character is going to be is just a regular kid. Oh look, he's evil or whatnot. If that's what the twist is. You know, it's just... This series has not given us any characters to focus on. It's mm-hmm. focusing on so many different characters, and then it acts as if we'd actually spent time focusing on those characters when we haven't. We don't know anything about them, and it's just pretty awful, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, oh, hey, we're going to get into Alice's, you know, backstory, and I'm just like, who gives a fucking shit, you know? It's like with, say, for example, when we got into Gray's backstory in Fairy Tale, again, getting into that. You know, he'd been around enough, and we'd learned, knew enough of his character. We knew who the hell he was, then we got his backstory. Same thing with Urza. We'd had her around long enough. Then we went into her backstory. We know who the hell she was. And then we learned more about who she was and why she is the way she is. Because, you know, we got her backstory. But here with Alice, it's just like, we don't know anything. There's nothing about her that stands out. It's just, this is just the worst character use I've ever seen. And I mean, it could be good, but it's just...
Was it kind of similar to how Barrage was with that one girl character?
Well, the problem with that one was that it was on the right track, but then the idiots decided to cancel it. Mm. With this one, we haven't even gotten that. It's been focusing on so many different characters when we don't even know who the main characters are. I mean, literally... The only reason we assume that Jig is the main character is because he showed up at the very beginning. The only reason we assume that maybe Troma is like the secondary main character is because, again, he was like one of the first ones that you meet, but he hasn't done anything.
But yeah, we still haven't seen much of Troma at all, which is kind of funny because it's so easy to draw him. It's just so easy to draw him. I don't know why. The writer can't even be bothered to. I mean, it's not the art. The artist is not his fault, to be honest. But it's the writer. The artist kind of is at fault. You should say, hey, you know, the main character is supposed to be the masked guy, right? Even though the protagonist is the little kid, right? Why are we focusing on the masked guy?
Well, it's not even that. I mean, just somebody. This series has been giving us nothing. Has been focusing on a million different characters, and it's just boring. It's badly written. I mean, I can go for a certain amount of time and be, oh, it's okay, we'll see what happens. But eventually I reach a point where I'm, you know, where my forgiving nature decides that, you know what, no, that's too much. You've pissed me off now. And this was kind of that chapter where it just doesn't do anything to fix the problems that it has and instead just continues. I mean, we get a crap ton of more characters. We get a new... guy to be the antagonist, but I'm like, I don't give two shits about the antagonist. I don't know anything about the characters. It's like, this is just such a stupid manga.
I mean, it's just, canceled.
Yeah, it's just poorly written, but all right, we're going to take a quick break here and then we will continue with the rest of the chapters later in just a couple seconds, okay? All right, we're back and it's time for World Trigger Chapter 61, Invasion Part 11. And this chapter, it was all right, I thought. I mean, it had fun action, but I didn't quite enjoy it as much as the previous ones.
Too much stuff face.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff happening, so, you know, there's not one single thing to focus on, per se. You kind of had to focus on everything, but, you know, it is working really well at building up the tension of... You know, what will happen, you know, what will, you know, will Will everyone be able to survive and all that? So, it's looking pretty bad for the humans, but I guess we'll kind of see where we go from there. But, yeah, overall, it was good, but not the best chapter I've...
I get the feeling someone's gonna die. I mean, with the way Jin's saying, Osan might die. It might not be Osan, it could be someone else. He could live, but someone else will die in this place. But I wonder, though, since it's this kind of series, I wonder if Ashihara really has the balls to actually kill a character off. Like, really kill one off. And not just to, like, wow anyone, but for the sake, for like, you know, it's the way of how, it's a war. Someone's gonna die, and apparently there's a way that people can die, even within the Treon form, apparently.
Yeah, so, it's, yeah, we'll have to see, I guess, but, yeah. I don't know. Overall, I am certainly definitely interested where this series is going, and it has definitely gotten a lot better than it had any right to be, I'd say. So.
See? They gave us a chance. They don't give other series a chance. Well, then again, the series we talked about a while ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, that one doesn't deserve it anymore. But anyway, let's move on to chapter 123 of Nisekoi. Yep, so...
Chapter 1, 2, 3. Change 1, 2, 3.
Oh, dear.
I wanted to make that joke, but then you said, I'm like, dang it, fine, I'll just say it anyway.
Yeah, this chapter is mostly focused on Onodera, and, you know, it's mostly her saying, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do, and her basically coming to the realization that, you know what, wanting to be a wife isn't a bad goal to have, you know?
No, it isn't, but apparently people in Japan don't agree with that.
Well, people here don't agree with that is the thing. It's kind of a staple of pretty much every modernized culture in the world right now, where, you know, just a girl saying, I want to be a wife isn't enough. You know, everyone's like, oh, no, no, you need to be strong and independent, and you need to have your own career, etc., etc., you know. So it's kind of taking the whole idea, because it used to be where the case was women or girls and girls would say, I want to have a career, but everyone's like, no, 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 you need to be a wife, etc., etc., don't waste your time on this, you need to focus on becoming a wife. Well, it seems nowadays it's kind of been
reversed.
The exact same situation, but reversed. Yes, where a girl, where everyone's going and getting careers and whatnot, and if a girl says, oh, I just want to be a wife, and everyone's like, oh, no, 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 you need to get a career. You can't just be a wife. No, no, you need to make something out of your life, you know? And it's kind of like...
Ah!
Ow! No screaming, damn it, Mo.
Hey, you scream too, that hurts my ears.
Yeah, except you're not the one with the recording equipment, so you don't get to see exactly how much the audio levels spike. So, let's make a rule. Anytime we want to scream, we need to sit back from the mic. How does that sound? Anyway,
okay.
Anyway, that technical issues aside, it is nice to see a series that, you know, isn't afraid to have one of its characters say, you know what? I don't know what I want to do, but right now, what I really think of, I kind of want to, you know, get married to someone.
Instead of the whole, I just want to be a wife, all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, it is kind of an interesting thought. I mean, people sit around thinking, oh, it's so much better now that women are out getting careers instead of being forced to be married by society, which, you know, yeah, it's better that people have the choice, but I think that it is worth realizing that there is some hypocrisy involved in the fact that people act like now everyone has a choice and they can do what they want, when in fact they are actively fighting against everyone having a choice to do what they actually want, because they see just wanting to be get married as a sign of, you know, settling, or, you know, it's like, you know, this was a bad thing in the past, and it's always a bad thing. It will never be a good thing that some elements of our society have. So, yeah.
Personally, I don't want to get married because it means abandon my own dreams and have me stuck with kids.
Well, yeah. But, you know, and I mean, I guess you could make the argument that, oh, but when you're that young, you shouldn't, you don't know who you actually want to spend the rest of your life with. It's just puppy love, or, you know, it's just a crush. You're too young to really make that kind of decision. And if you marry the guy that you're in love with in high school, then you'll be stuck with him for the rest of your life, which...
Bakuman?
Well, no, that's not even in close to what I'm talking about. But actually it is. But, you know, but that's not... that's besides the point right here. Because the argument, you know, because, I mean, people say... Oh, hey, you know what? When you're in high school, you're too young to decide who you want to spend the rest of your life with because you're not fully matured yet and whatnot. But at the same time, we think it's okay for kids in high school to decide what they want to do for a living for the rest of their life, you know? I mean, yeah, some people, you know, like with some people like Ruri, she knows what she wants. She's working towards it. And, you know, she's mature enough to know what she wants, but you get someone like Onodera who isn't sure what she wants to do for a living because, you know, she's just not ready to make that decision. And so you can kind of flip that around. You can have some people that are ready to make the decision of who they want to spend the rest of their life with, but they're not ready to make the decision of what they want to spend the rest of their life doing, you know?
So, okay.
Yeah.
So, Sugumi, when Onodera goes asks Sugumi, Sugumi's like, oh, and then she brings out like a pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the?
That was hilarious and adorable at the same time. I think that's a lot of what this, you know, what this chapter is. There's a lot of hilarious and yet adorable moments in it, you know, just from all the different characters. And, yeah, you know. And also I kind of really like the scene between Raku and Onodera, you know, where they're kind of talking about, oh, what should I do? It's like, oh, you know, you should do what you dream to do. And you know, I love that. It's like, what would you have me do with my life? And Raku was like, what should I ever do? Marry me? I can't say that. And I'm just thinking, man, you would solve all your problems if you said that.
Yep.
But...
Except the problem with the gang fighting each other.
Oh, yeah. But still, you like, I kind of like how Komino, she draws the blushes where they seem to be escaping the face. You know, like that one where she, right after Onodera asks if she'd make a good wife, the blush is so intense that it is escaping her face and is covering almost the entire panel. But, yeah, so it's... You know, it's kind of one of those moments where he teases fans of this pairing with, oh, well, they reveal how they feel about each other, to each other. And I was like, you know, I mean, obviously you knew that's not going to happen, but you have that little moment where you're like, are they really going to do it? And then they don't. And you're like, aw, you got me again. So, you know, it's not like a lot of series do that and you kind of get pissed at them. But with this one, for some reason, it just doesn't piss me off, you know? Because I already know where it's going to end, so I can enjoy I can enjoy the moments and maybe hope for some twists down the road. So, oh well. Either way, this was a great chapter. I mean, granted, it featured one of our favorite characters in the series, so how could it not be? Haha. Alright. Mo?
And before probably some other guy appears. Oh, sorry.
Well, jeez.
I know, this is only has Raku and Shu so far, but, you know, with the part where Raku says, then she just married a guy who can cook. And even though, because she said, oh, we know how it's going to end. I'm like, it's going to be pretty hurtful if it does happen like that.
Yeah, well, I hope there aren't more guys added to the main cast, because this isn't really the kind of
more teenage guys.
Yeah. But more just in general, yeah. This is kind of the kind of series that doesn't really need that. But, okay. Let's move on. Let's see. The next one's Yu-Gi-Oh! Screw Yu-Gi-Oh!
I don't want to read that.
Let's see. We have an introduction to Hunter x Hunter.
And a catch-up.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's like, you know, as Weekly Shonen Jump will do, they play catch-up to you know, with a series that they're starting out, but they aren't starting from the very beginning. And so, yeah, I should probably read this to get an idea of what's going on, but at the same time, I feel like I'd rather just read the volumes.
Wait, so there's the Hunter exam arc, which is the first one. 1, 2, they only went over 3 so far.
Yeah.
The next are going to be...
We'll see.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, volumes 1 to 32 are available print and digital, and starting June the 2nd, so in the next issue, we'll be picking up with the latest chapter, and then we'll see for how long that goes.
I'm just going to count the days until Togashi decides to take a hiatus.
Yeah, then he'll have a whole new breed of fans that are pissed at him.
Yep, I'll be like, it's like, yep, this is why I don't want to read the series from the very beginning.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, let's move on. Let's talk some other chapters. Assassination Classroom, chapter 89, which...
Name time.
Yeah, it focused entirely on... the entire joke of it was the fact that Japanese words can be read several different ways depending on how you focus on them. Or I have a basic idea of how it works, but not enough to really.
Yeah, like kanji, know. Like kanji and stuff.
Yeah, like there's several different readings of kanji. Mm-hmm. Like you've got Kimura, who until this moment, everyone thought that his name was read as Masayoshi. But it turns out that the actual reading of his name, as indicated by his parents, is Justice. Because it turns out that his parents are both police officers, and they gave him that name because like, oh, we want him to have a high sense of justice. And I love that panel where you see his mom and his dad, and his mom's just laying there holding him, and his dad in uniform is holding this paper that says Justice on it. And they both have these ridiculous expressions where they're just like, yes! And I honestly, you know, screw the rest of the manga. I want to find out about these two. They look like they're more entertaining. They're like a mix between... They're like if Rock Lee and a female version of Rock Lee crossed with Batman.
What?
Well, I mean, look at the dad's eyebrows. He's got big eyebrows, so... There, and also they just their expressions. You're just like, okay, we're looking at Rock Lee and Might Guy levels of insane here, and then add in an obsession with justice, and boom, you've got Kimura's parents. I want to know more about this. This is jeez. Well, yeah. So the rest of the chapter is kind of everyone saying, hey, it was like, hey, I don't like my name either. Like, what's her face, Kirara? It was like the kind of gloomy-looking girl from Terasaka's group. And she's like, do I look like a Kirara? Which I guess is like,
no.
Oh, it's too cute of a name. But
if you take the Ra out, it's Kira, and Kira can pretty much be read as Kira.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the moment where Koro-sensei is like, it's like, I have a problem with my name, too. And everyone's like, don't you like it? And it's like, oh, you know, it's because I like it that I have a problem. It's like, as of yet, there are about two people that refuse to call me by that name. And you've just got Irina and Karasuma. They're like, ugh.
We don't want to call him Sensei.
Yeah, no, it's just like, you know, yeah, it's like when Karasuma calls me, it's hey or you. We're not some middle-aged couple, you know. It's like, but for a proper adult to say Coral Sensei, honestly, it's embarrassing. And I enjoyed it. That was fun. And yeah, then after that, everyone's like, oh hey, let's do code names, and we'll each decide. You know, everyone think of a code name for everyone else, and then we'll draw and we'll put them in a raffle, and you know, whichever one we draw, that's your code name then. For the day, and then we'll switch it around. And yeah, so basically then the rest of the chapter is them, you know, training against Karasuma while everyone has their while everyone is called by their code names.
Code names are hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, especially you, womanizing bastard guy. It's like, Mushroom Director, Flouncy Stag Beetle.
Baseball Freak, RC Beanpole, Straight Lace.
Lufa.
Sundare Sniper.
Yeah, Pseudo Tamaoka.
Pseudo Tamaoka is horrible.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you're awful. And it was like, Poison Glasses and Forever Zero.
Naive.
Oh, jeez. And let's see, what do we have? Yeah, and you got Stern Lecture and Gyaru English and Gender, which...
Poison glasses, forever zero.
Yeah. And let's see what else. Oh, I think my favorite one is the other sniper kid. I can't remember his name, but adult game protagonist.
Yep.
Because his eyes are covered by his hair. And let's see what else do we have.
Two, that's a weird translation of that. Oh, yeah, and then the other one, and the perversion, and his mangas also.
Yeah. Yeah, and his, like, and of course, then Justice. And everyone's like, so, how was using your code names? It's like, it was really hurtful. It's like, who came up with my name? It's like, I was repeatedly called Amazing Monkey. It's like, ponytail and breasts. And yeah, so basically it was meant, since, you know, this is all about learning things, it turns out, yeah, the manga, basically every chapter is like, you need to learn something. And they learned that, hey, you know what, your parents gave you your name and you should appreciate it. I mean, you know, you could honestly change it if you want, but, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay if you keep the name, even if it's goofy. It's the person that makes the person, not the name. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to name, Koro-sensei tries to give himself a new name. It's like, the Imperial Prince of Fate of the Eternal Wind, okay?
And they're like, I don't know, why do you get to give yourself a name? And then he started to call them, what was it?
Oh,
they started to call them Stupid Pervert Chicken Octopus.
Oh, yeah. That rolls off the tongue so well, Stupid Pervert Chicken Octopus. I love that.
Tongue twister.
Yeah, this was a really great chapter. I mean, this... Honestly, the one-off chapters of Assassination Classroom are some of the best ones in the series, I find. They're just more fun, you know? But, yeah. All right, let's move on to Shokugeki no Soma, Chapter 70, which begins with everyone in a kind of delinquent outfits.
Yep.
And then, for some reason, Megumi is the only one of the girls that's there. And we find
it's
out...
It's a cooking manga, remember that.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what's this manga about? But yeah, so we basically, this one, let's see if I remember properly. Yeah, it's basically everyone's like, oh, hey, look, Megumi, you're making your clear soup. But then Kurokiba kind of takes control by, you know, serving his first. And there's one panel on like page 8 where they show like, you know, people's reactions, like what kind of ramen will it be, or it can't wait. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, I know that out of in the middle three panels there, I'm pretty sure three of those people are judges, but there's just this random woman there and I'm like, you don't look like a random background design, and why the heck is it focusing on you? Wait, have we seen this person before?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was just like, wait, is she meant to be one of the judges? Because I don't recall there being a woman among the judges. But, yeah. So, he makes soup de poisson ramen.
Which, poisson is fish in French, by the way.
Yes.
Not poison. Not poison.
Yeah, you don't need to tell me that. But yes, that
I
is
know.
Correct.
I'm letting the people who don't know that.
Yeah, I can imagine some people like, wait, what? But yeah, basically his cooking is like he infuses it with all the flavor of the fish, and it's basically, you know, it's violently good.
And this is flavor violence.
Yeah, which I just thought that's so hilarious. But
easy.
Yeah, and it's like you made me strip using sheer strength, and I'm like, that's normally. Making someone strip through sheer strength is normally seen as a bad thing. This took like a slight dip into the creepy territory and then jumped right back out of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, before that, there was like a panel of, you know, fantasy fights.
Oh, yeah, fantasy fight, yeah. And, yeah, so, and then we end the chapter with Megumi being all calm and collected, and, you know, they say, oh, yeah, she's, you know, she's just like Yukihira. And I'm thinking, oh, interesting. Yeah, this series is one of those ones which is kind of nice because, you know, it manages to have certain elements introduced, but at the same time, you don't know exactly where it's going with it all. So, like, you know, with the character relationships and all that. So I'm curious to see where all this is going to go. But for now... Yep, that was chapter 70. So, yeah. It was really good. I really liked it. Just, I don't know. But again, the thing is, it makes it really hard to comment about because it's kind of the same thing week after week right now. You know, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's certainly enjoyable. But at the same time, it's really hard to really get into it and discuss it because, you know, people cooked. They showed how they are good at cooking. They are showing off their food now, and now they are having the judges taste it, you know? It's a tournament arc, obviously, but it feels a little... I mean, it's still way more interesting than other tournament arcs, but that's just because I like cooking. But at the same time, it runs into the problem of most tournament arcs, where since it's all about fighting slash competition, it's kind of hard to have an interesting discussion that goes beyond, and then she did this, and then he did this, and then this person won, you know? It's kind of hard to discuss, but anyway, that was that. Let's go ahead and talk about Fairy Tale chapter 385, shall we?
Okay.
Also, one thing that we forgot to mention last week that we discovered something very interesting in the in the author comments of last week's chapter of Fairy Tale. Something that I think but don't give it away yet. Something that I think will probably amuse a lot of people, drive some people away from the manga, and might interest some people in reading the manga if they haven't read it before, but they enjoy a certain other series. I am of course referring to the Mashima's rambling of last week that revealed that Mashima's favorite pony is Rainbow Dash. Turns out that Mashima is a brony. And he flat out said it himself. Unless I was a really late April Fool's by the translator.
Probably
not. I don't think so. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you'd get in trouble.
Well, it's already been a month.
Yeah. Pretty sure you'd get in trouble if you translate something and then, and don't translate it properly, you know. But, yeah, this was, it was kind of like I read that after you told me that there was something funny there. And I saw it and I was like, what the hell? Yeah, turns out Mashima likes the ponies.
How long will it take before we see ponies in this?
Yeah, it's like suddenly all the cats turn into ponies. Oh dear, that would be.
See, we're really ponies.
They were a Pegasi all along. It was like, wait, what?
Like the wings. Like play the wings.
Yeah. I would laugh if he did like a sort of like, you know, one of his special extra side chapters where he just has all you know, just all the X-Seed turn into ponies. That would be pretty hilarious. But since he's, you know, he's a professional and he's being paid, and those professionals have to worry more about, you know, copyright infringement and all that, that's probably not going to happen. Nope. But, and at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, Mashima, I've seen what your art looks, what you like to draw looks like. Please don't draw any My Little Pony fan art.
Please don't. Please, that would be terrifying.
Please avoid it. But anyway, let's talk about this actual chapter. So it is basically a fight between the Celestial King and Mad Greer. And, you know, they fight and it's all badass and whatnot. And then we find out that Lucy has been given the power of of Aquarius. And so, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of looking at the thing, and it's like, oh, okay, so the Celestial King gives, grants her the power of Aquarius, and I'm kind of thinking, wait, is this, I guess this is a temporary thing, although if it turns out that Lucy, gains the power of Aquarius, like, forever, that would make her and Juvia's dynamic a lot funnier, just because Juvia's like, ah, and he's like, you are not content to steal the man I love, to try to steal the man I love, you also steal my powers? But, except in that case, I don't think Lucy would be able to turn to water, because I don't think that was part of Aquarius' power. But, yeah, so she fights using water, and then she uses Rano Meteora, the ultra super powerful celestial spirit magic, and she wins. Mm-hmm. Or at least it looks like she wins. It looks like Jackal is beat up pretty bad. So,
good. He deserves.
Indeed he does. But yeah, Lucy manages to win a fight all on her own. That is awesome. It was an overall good chapter. I mean, it mostly focused on the badass fights and all that, and you know, I can't complain about that. And so, all right, you have anything you want to add about that chapter?
I liked it. I liked it because, you know, actually, wait, yeah, I liked it. Even though it was kind of weird with the whole, you know, why are you even carrying that book around thing? Like, wait, what? Oh yeah, that book. When the Celestial King asked the Underworld King, you know, why are you, you know, oh, I see you're still carrying the book, and he was using we the whole time. And I'm like, oh, he's speaking for all of them. I like that. You know, instead of the king going, I, right? We just sounds more like, you know, as a union, we all together and stuff.
Right.
Yes, Jackal got his butt kicked. Good. Now beat the crap out of Lummy some more.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 78. And yeah, so it's basically Bond saying, hey, bring back Elaine, you can take my life. And then the goddess is like, oh, we don't want your life. We want you to do something else. And then we focus on a little bit of fighting to set the scene. And then the goddesses say, we need you to take the life of a certain someone. You need to kill the Seven Deadly Sins, Dragon Sin of Wrath, and we'll bring back Elaine. And Bond is like, ah, crap, not again. But yeah, so it was a good chapter. I like the sort of like the, I really like the build up towards the reveal. I mean, it kind of had this moment where it's like, you know, where they have the goddesses saying, we want you to kill a certain someone, and it's focused on Gil Thunder. You're thinking, oh, maybe, but in the back of the mind, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, but the build up to that reveal is really good, you know, where you discover that, nope, you need to, it's like, you need to kill Meliodas. And so, yeah, that was something, all right. And yeah, my personal opinion, really good build up. I liked it quite a lot. All right, and we also have the extra chapter where it's basically Elaine and Bond, and Elaine saying, oh, why are humans so greedy? And Bond saying, well, you know, we don't live very long, so if we find something we want, we take it, basically. And then there's a creepy moment where their relationship seems to be built a lot more romantic than not, and I'm just thinking, I know she's a fairy and she's not underage, but damn it, that character design.
I know.
It just makes it just a little bit creepy, you know? Well, not just a little bit creepy, actually really, really creepy. But reading this, I have to try really hard to just imagine that she's like Rukia, where she's not a kid, she just looks young, but it's still damn creepy, all right? Especially when in like the last page where he's like, can you tell what I'm thinking right now? And she's got that embarrassed come hither look on her face. And I'm like, please stop that. The regular chapter was good. The extra chapter was creepy as hell.
Let me just talk about the regular chapter. Okay, I'm not sure when Bond has been calling Hawk Master. When I read it, I was like, wait, Hawk is being called Master?
I think it's more like a joke.
Oh, probably.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something to it. What's your theory?
Hawk is not who we think he is.
Yeah, I have been picking up hints.
Since when do pigs talk?
Well, his mom doesn't talk, so yeah, I have been picking up hints here and there that there might be more to him than we think.
Probably.
But at the same time, you know, I'm sort of like just sitting here thinking, it's like,
It was kind of funny. It was kind of funny when Hawk was talking so much, and then Ethan and Bond and that goddess were like, quite you. Like, oh, I got told by both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually really funny.
That was funny. He's like, I am a greater deity, shut up. I'm talking right now.
Oh. Like, oh, you make me sad. Alright, let's see. Okay, and that, I think that wraps us up on the weekly chapters here, does it not?
Yep.
Yes, it does. Alright, let's go ahead and wrap things up. This has been Manga Cubed, episode 98, for the week of May Oh, geez, what day was it again?
26.
26? Okay, May 26th, 2014. This week, we went over One Piece volumes 34, 35, and 36, and we went over the weekly chapters as per usual. For next week, we are going over One Piece volumes 37, 38, 39, and then... and then I realized that after next week, I have enough for one more week of One Piece... and then I kind of need to buy, like, at least two more volumes to be caught up. So we may be taking some impromptu breaks as I catch up on my volumes of One Piece.
Here's the funny thing about May 26th. Exactly a month from now will be a certain someone's birthday.
Oh.
Mine!
Oh. I thought you were talking about a One Piece character.
That's, man. If I found my birthday is Sherry Caribou, I would...
That
girl.
Would be funny. Yeah.
I'd be like, why?
Indeed. Ugh. Yeah, and we're also going to be going over Hunter x Hunter Volume 1, just as kind of preparatory for what the heck's going on for, you know, reading the latest chapter of Hunter x Hunter.
I remember when I read it, I was still in the Hunter exam. I was about to be done with it. I didn't even know if I was still done with it. I was like, lost interest in it.
Well, there's over 30 volumes, so... and for some reason, they're not immediately available at Barnes & Noble, which is a bit annoying, but whatever.
Yeah, some of Barnes & Noble, I heard it's closing at some point. I don't know why.
I heard that, but...
be bad if it did.
Yeah, so we'll have four volumes for next week. And while I'm at it, let me just double-check and see if there are any new releases. Because if we have a week with multiple releases... we might skip, we might skip One Piece for a week just so I can buy some more. Let's see, no, we don't. We don't have anything until the 17th. Okay, I'm going to have to figure something out here. Because I've got volumes 40, 41, 42, and 43. But then the next one I have after that is volume, like, 51. And then after that I have volume 66 through 69, and then, no, 66 through volume 70. So, I've got the most recent ones, but it's just that after volume 43, I kind of don't have them, and they're not at my Barnes & Noble, so I may have to order them. But, let's go ahead and go over the author comments, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, One Piece is Eiichiro Oda because of Ryo Nakama... creator of the Isobe manga series. I keep wanting to use samurai dialogue. Darn you, Ryo Nakama.
Like, my samurai sense 13. Darn you, Ryo Nakama.
Nice. Alright, what else? Next one.
Hang on, I'm opening it right now. I accidentally closed it.
Oh dear. Alright, well, yeah. I'll do Bleaches. Bleaches, Tite Kubo, family from back home are planning to visit Tokyo. But I'm struggling to decide where to take them. Alright, you got it open?
Hang on, I'm getting there, I'm about to get there.
Alright, in that case I'll do Naruto too.
Wait, I got it. Okay, Naruto Masashi Kishimoto. The judging for the Tezuka Award was intense. Talking with all the other artists afterwards is always a great time.
That must be fun.
He judged? Okay.
Yeah. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro, the espresso machine I got at the New Year's party, looks like a pain to maintain, so I'm afraid to use it.
All right. Espresso machine. I don't want to use coffee machine.
I don't like coffee.
Neither do I. Actually, I'm okay with it, but not like how to drink it properly. Anyways, Stealth Symphony's Yoichi Amano. I'm way too addicted to basil seed drinks and can't stop popping them in my mouth. Google that.
Huh, interesting. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. The five people who made it to the second round of the fan-created Still Motion Mad video contest in Japan... did a collaboration project. It's great.
Oh, those things. I used to have those with ice. I never liked them because I thought it was like little eyeballs or something.
That's silly.
I was like, ew, I don't want to eat that. Little kid back then, okay? Little kid.
Right.
Nisekoi's Nagashikomi. I moved again this year. Again? I'm concerned there's nothing around my new house, but oh well.
Well, as long as it's a nicer house. Alright then.
At least it's a house.
Yes. All right, for this week, we need to decide on our rankings. Let's see. Oh dear. Yes. I would say, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, my number four is World Trigger.
Oh.
Mostly because it had a nice sort of, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but it was okay. It was good. All right. And what's your number four?
Surf of the End.
Fair enough.
It was good. It was good. I mean, other than the whole, oh, demon be my friend. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, that part was kind of silly, but
Oh,
okay.
it's
I mean,
cheesy.
it had entertaining
But the beginning
parts.
part is hilarious. It's like, oh, you know,
Yeah, I just like
I
that.
can't remember that part anymore.
It was pretty good. It was like to be continued. All right, and
Never
let's see. Yes, number three is Toriko.
Ah.
Yes, I just really liked that chapter. It was a lot of fun, and
Oh,
the
yeah.
maze was really impressive. So.
Actually, my number three is Nisekoi.
Oh, really? How come?
Well, I like the chapter, but the second one is just beats it better. Plus, even though it's only there a chapter, it's still great. That continues from the counseling, but the one number two is, which is Toriko for me, I like it because of the map.
Yes. All
I like
right.
mazes.
Yep. Well, my number two is Decekoy. Just because I thought it's one of my favorite characters on in this series, and it was just a lot of fun, So, yep, number two.
I just said Toriko.
Oh,
I
did you?
hope that Octomelon doesn't die.
No,
I
wait.
mean, it's a yeah, my number
Did
two.
you do? You did number two before me.
Yeah.
Mo.
I kind of said it. I said, Toriko was my number two, and you didn't hear it somehow.
Well, I heard you mention Toriko, and I was thinking, nah, he wouldn't be dumb enough to do his number two before me.
I
Because
did.
I started. Yeesh.
I did.
All right, number one, One Piece.
Yeah, One Piece.
Yeah, it's just really funny, Just Luffy laughing at Pika, Luffy, the guys punching Pika's arms out, and all the group getting together. It was entertaining. It was really
I
funny.
really like how they're arguing about, I'm gonna get Doflamingo. No, I'm gonna get Doflamingo. No, I'm gonna get Doflamingo. God damn it, you guys, shut up and just get Doflamingo.
Yeah,
You shut up, I'm getting Doflamingo.
that was quite entertaining. I enjoyed
And
it a
Law's
lot.
like, oh my god, these guys are crazy. These guys are crazy.
These guys are stupid.
Wait, I'm a Shichibukai. Oh yeah, right. These guys are stupid.
Yeah. Yep. And all right, well that does it for this week. This let's see, yeah, that does it for this week's chapters and the episode. So just remember, if you have any questions or comments, just leave them at send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com, and be sure to go to burninglizardstudios.com or look us up at Burning Lizard on Twitter, or look up Manga Cubed on iTunes, where you can where if you get you can get the full list of episodes, and especially for anyone listening to this on Podomatic, you can get the full episodes on you can get the full episodes, every single one that you may have missed as we put up the new ones on iTunes. If you just spell out Manga Cubed, actually using words and not numbers, you'll be able to get all of that, the entire series, for download there. And that takes care of that, so we'll see you all next week.
Ciao. Hey, you've got to say the.
Say what?
You've got to say, and the manga is always better.
All right, yes, and the manga is always better, etc.
Read manga, it's good for you.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Reading is good,
Yes,
man.
see you next week. Yeah.